Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WPR Rebuttal. Now in our new 1 hour format for the expedience of our viewership, as well as to just streamline the process and make everything better for all the stakeholders. So I'm Senator JPO, your host. Oh, wow. What a week. The reason why WPR Rebuttal is starting about 12:45 today, as opposed to like 12:30, is because, well, one, I mean, it's my own show. If I have some type of other matters to take care of, well, that's the great aspect of having my own podcast, is that I can set aside time to do something that's temporarily more important than just some podcast, right? Because, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, I mean, chances are you're listening to, like, bits and pieces. You're probably downloading it, because I noticed that I have a lot more, let's just say, archival downloads. I have about maybe three times as many archival downloads as I have live streams. So that indicates that many listeners are actually skipping around the podcast and looking for, like, the highlights. So now I'm just going to recap in order to provide kind of a written highlight reel of each podcast. But, of course, for the two-hour format, that proved to be too much absolute work volume in terms of the sheer amount of grunt work, based on the fact that I have a day job and I also have, like, other hobbies that I do. So it's kind of a balancing act, because really, I know when I work at my palletizing job, when I'm packing materials and stuff through the agency, sometimes the other temps will ask me, well, hey, why are you not doing other things beyond working part-time? Like, what else do you do with your life? And I just tell them, well, I have a lot of different projects that I do, and I feel tired despite just working part-time and doing all these other projects. I don't even have time for dating. So it's not like I'm just sitting idle. No, I'm using my time to the fullest extent. Like, I am maximizing every 15-minute block of time. And because I am maximizing my efficiency, that is why I began WPR Rebuttal at 12:45 instead of 12:30. But our number here is 929-477-3965. And as indicated by today's title, I am explaining the groundswell support for UW System Raycross. Because, you know, Faculty Senate has been stamping their feet. And 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how UW Madison and UW Cross, and then I later found out my own alma mater, UW Milwaukee, voted no confidence in Ray, which I would expect that from UW Milwaukee, because they're Palooka University. They cannot withstand the bitter medicine. They're just a bunch of contrarians who don't know what's good for them. And again, that was, oh my goodness. And then a podcast after that, I talked about how UW Milwaukee bookstore and UW restaurant operations to another extent, because I worked in both, mostly in a bookstore for a longer time in a different capacity, but I worked within a smaller department within UW restaurant operations. And I know that the mediocrity of Palooka University UW spreads to all facets, branches, and every type of element within UWM, mediocrity has become ensconced. So I am not at all surprised that UW Milwaukee would vote no support, or no confidence, rather, in such a great leader, because they don't recognize great leaders. They just recognize mediocre people as who they promote. That's why all the great people left the UW Milwaukee bookstore. It hasn't been great ever since a year or two after I left, because that's when foreign supervisor in e-commerce left, and then about 3 years after that, then the general manager left, and that's when the bookstore came crashing down because it no longer sold books. But I really hammered that to exhaustion in the, May 13th? Yeah, one of the May 13th podcasts. And that's another reason, too, that I'm cutting down how much I do, you know, given a week for podcasting, is because it ended up being so much material, where then if I wanted to reference a prior podcast, I'd have four different stacks of notes to look through just for that one podcasting day. It's like, oh, my goodness. I suppose it would have been better to maybe, if I had wanted to maintain the same amount of content, it would have been better to just have two podcasting days and 30-minute blocks each. Now, the reason I didn't do 4 days of half an hour each is because it's just difficult to set aside time, launch up the podcasting dashboard, because you need that dashboard up to see who's calling in. Even though there's a conference line, there is no real indication as to who's calling, and there's no button, unless you have like a special phone, which I guess this could be an invention idea for all of you who are fortuitous enough to be listening while we're live before too many other people can listen in and get this idea. But if you were to go and patent the design of a phone, whether basic phone and or smartphone, it doesn't really matter, but just have the phone have an array of or firmware. You can use the existing keyboard, but so patent the firmware, okay, that interfaces between the basic phone or a smartphone, between either of those phones, okay, and the conference line server, the conference line router. For when people call in, then if you want to let them in on the Blog Talk Radio Streamcast, then you can press a button for, it depends, because it needs to display, you need to assign an ID to each of the callers, right? And you could do it in serial order, but there needs to be some type of heads-up display, I guess a dashboard app, and you can only have apps on smartphones. So I guess Blog Talk Radio might have an app that does it, but I only use a basic phone. Because smartphone, you know, it's too much to accidentally mess up, and so I like to keep it simple and minimize mess ups, and I don't want to pay for a data plan to even use a smartphone. And not to mention a basic phone gets trashed or lost or whatever, it's much less expensive to replace than it's like a smartphone. Like, I'm used to a risk averse mentality, and although it served me well most of my life, now it's kind of odd now that, after college, even doing a hand to mouth mentality when looking for work, it's still just been very, very difficult, because I'm confident that I would have had much more success if I would have taken off a hand to mouth mentality in terms of looking for a foothold into just full-time work and worrying about my education later. But again, I hammer that to exhaustion, and practically every time I write, I mention it at least a few times in my podcast, so I'm going to stay on subject here, stick to the topic of why I read it a format. And of course, the title of this podcast is Why One UW Alumnus Supports Ray Cross. I'll certainly get to that. But I just need to finish addressing here why there's been a format change, because, again, it boils down to being, I guess, on the verge of being too busy. Definitely too busy for the amount of work I was doing on a podcast, because in a press release, 2 hours sounds more glamorous than just 1 hour. So for the purpose of getting a strong start out of the gate, it was good. But I have to definitely cut down, because no one can have it all. And I'm not even raising a family. I'm just palletizing maybe 30 hours a week, depending on the demand, because it's pretty much an on-call shift. So I have certain set hours, and then other times they'll call me in, like if we need to rush a bunch of orders, right? And they'll call me in to help palletize. But other than that, I'm mostly self-directed, but sometimes, you know, if the amount of work involved just to do some deliver simple products, right? Like the podcast is probably the easiest thing because I'm just talking and I go off notes, but I'm ad-libbing most of it. Now, more difficult is to make it into a searchable podcast because it means I have to take about maybe 15, 20 minutes beforehand and think real carefully about how the content of my podcast and the description of it will tie into these other articles that maybe I want to distinguish it from, right? Because that's the key with search engine marketing is you have to have unique content. You can't be too similar to the other stuff. And I have other articles and other content channels that I want to put out. So I have to plan around that. And I have all these puzzle pieces I have to move around in order to get this jigsaw to amount to the picture that I want to present. Because, why not just do one marketing channel, right? Well, the answer is because the exposure for any type of ideological transformation, okay, such as from trusting UW system to distrusting and ultimately dismantling and reshaping and fixing it in what we want as disgruntled college graduates, okay, for us to take back the UW system and make it into something worth going to again, and to restoring, actually, I guess not necessarily restoring, because I guess that was a myth all along, that UW system was a ticket to the middle class. I suppose it was an elaborate lie. But we need to either scrap it or, to save jobs, we need to make sure that UW system is becoming more effective at placing students into jobs that will pan out into actual careers, instead of these stupid student jobs where not only is there no job security, but when you graduate, you get no unemployment benefits. That's the current model, and it sucks, and that's what, one of the reasons why I've been hammering UW system in all of its campuses is because it talks a good game, but can't really deliver, okay? And I'm talking about in the career aspect, okay? It should be training because that is what employers want. You can be the best bloody critical thinker in the world, but if you can't go and call upon this experience that you're supposed to have been able to access, even if you're denied that access while enrolled, okay, but if you were, human resource people, okay, are a strange breed, because they automatically presume that, hey, if you graduate from college, you should have this some full-time work experience too. But, of course, full-time college and full-time work experience are mutually exclusive because of the whole opportunity cost thing. You have to sleep. I've been trying to do this podcast for 2 hours, and, of course, I need to sleep too and work a regular job that actually earns money, and that's why I cut it down to one. So opportunity cost is the root of economics, and it's the reason why people are making a big mistake when they if they choose to become full-time students, okay? So I'm going on this long rant as to the format change, and really, I might as well just go and write an article explaining it, and I'll post it up. Okay, so we have 15 minutes left in our first segment. Our call number at WPR Rebell is 929-477-3965. And I tagged this up really well with a nice description, so this live stream should be getting some exposure on the front page. And I know that there's some hardcore podcasters browsing the different programs that are on the air. So if you want to call into our internet radio show and get some exposure for yourself and your opinion, this is a place to call. WPR Rebuttal 929-477-3965. We just got done discussing a format change, and now we'll delve into UW system President Raymond Cross and how he's handling the legitimation crisis of the UW system. All right, so going to my notes. Well, okay, so it's pretty obvious that from the disgruntled graduates using their power of the electorate and electing the officials who valiantly fight in the Wisconsin legislature, valiantly struggle to rein in the UW system and bring it back into the control of the student consumers. Now, some people say that it's a mistake to treat the students as consumers because then it makes them too beholden to legitimation crises such as this, and it makes it kind of like a mob rule, but that's the whole point, is that if you don't want mob rule by student consumers, then you go and you divest yourself of the need for general purpose revenue, because anytime you rely upon taxpayer money, such as through general purpose revenue, you are willfully subjecting yourself to the democracy, also known as mob rule. So you just have to be more intelligent about strategic planning. And that's what Ray Cross is attempting to do. Now, faculty senate are trying to stymie him. Now, but the moment of truth, dear audience, is when the UW Board of Regents meets. Okay, they always have an early June meeting, and I may as well bring it up right now. So I'm going to Wisconsin.edu website, and that's where you want to go to scope out where a Board of Regents is planning to meet. And yeah, you might have a few figureheads from United Council, but United Council never says anything worth paying attention to. You're better off listening to my podcast. But, okay, so there's this big splash page, and, whoever redesigned the UW system website, Wisconsin.edu, it sucks. Man, it's not navigable. Okay, so if you're looking at the Wisconsin.edu website, do yourself a huge favor and hold on Control key, Control N, to take you to the navigable links, which should be up top. You dummy designed that website. I mean, Panther Shop website is horrible, but it's better than this. Oh, part of my frustration here, but how can UW system suck on so many websites? I mean, some of the campuses websites are navigable, but in Panther Shop, it's horrible, barely navigable, but there's still like some logic to the but Wisconsin.edu, that's the UW system wide website, it's just a big splash page, a never ending splash page. I mean, it ends, but that's a hyperbolic statement here. A splash page that goes down four or five screens and before you even see the links. So, okay, you're at the bottom of the front page, right? The bottom of that big honking splash page. And where do you get to the Board of Regents? Okay, so what is the UW system as a submenu? Regents. Then you load up the Regents page. If you want to go and find out when the Board of Regents, what day are they having their June meet, right? They always meet 2 days in early June. Okay, so, June 9th and June 10th. And you know where they're meeting? At my alma mater, UW-Milwaukee. Am I going to be here? No, I don't live in Milwaukee anymore. I mean, if you look at some of the op-eds in past 5 years, you might see some that say that I'm from Milwaukee. That's just that I don't have my enemies going and zeroing in on where I actually live, okay? But I don't live close enough to even bother trying to drive down to UW-Milwaukee. No, and not at the moment. I don't plan going back to Milwaukee because Milwaukee is going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, even West Bend is a suburb of Milwaukee. West Bend, Wisconsin, is becoming a veritable slum. And, again, there will be a special podcast on this at some time in the future. I'm not going to set any dates for it because, again, I'm so busy. I don't even know what my next week is going to be like, let alone next month or 1 year in the future, 5 years in the future, or some other crappy job interview question like that. But the way to answer it, though, okay, for sake of a job interview question, is I just presume that I will earn my way into a promotion in the next higher step within like 2.5 years, is the way to put it. And I try to be just kind of moderate like that. But in terms of my personal life and in terms of self-direction, it's pretty much I go and work on my media projects until something, it's either a crisis or some type of chance opportunity. Pretty much I do what I'm doing until chance and opportunity and risk are just unacceptable risk for staying where I'm at. You know, it takes pretty much a crisis to go and change what I'm doing because I found a nice, comfortable niche here. The only struggle they have right now is time management. And everyone has that struggle no matter where they are in life, pretty much. I mean, even when you're retired, you want to use the remaining life you have to the fullest extent. So it doesn't matter what period of life you're at, you know, where your helicopter parents are trying to keep your schedule busy when you're in grade school. That was not the case. That was not my case, okay? But I see that's true for a lot of people. But and I suppose it gave me the room to think critically about a lot of things, which can prove to be a problem when, you know, you're dealing with people, decision makers, notably hiring managers, and your peers who might refer you to the hiring managers. You know, they don't want to think critically because it scares them. You know, it gets their adrenaline pumping in a bad way, and they get worried that you're thinking critically. So maybe that's not the best thing, but whatever. I'm determined to make a career out of thinking critically. So now how much that career pays is another thing, because, again, I have this palletizing job, and that's where I get my income, and I keep my overhead small. Again, I don't have a family, so I can afford the freedom of using so much of my spare time to think critically, okay? So that, of course, is definitely one reason why some people might hate me, is because I have the time to think critically. You know, I'm not overcommitted in terms of, like, a family or anything, because I haven't even dated, really. And, yeah, so that's good, is that I'm not beholden to anyone else's demands. That's the cool thing, and that's why I might have some haters out there, because, you know, they think it's irresponsible to go and be able to do your own thing and self-actualize, to use the term from Abraham Maslow. But the whole thing is that, you know, it's not just about self-actualization. It's about providing a better way, okay, a better way for society to go and train for economic stability, okay, because the schoolwork scam is not cutting it. And I'm living proof of that. And, again, the self-actualization is actually helping others, so it's not entirely selfish. In fact, one could argue it's a Christian thing to do, because, again, it goes back to the whole rational actor argument, which no one is entirely rational, and no one has perfect information. In fact, a lot of the times, especially in the schoolwork scam business, well, that information is purposely clouded and obfuscated to prevent an optimal choice, because a lot of times the optimal choice would be to not go to college, or at least not go to a university. But, so at any rate, the Board of Regents is meeting June 9th, June 10th, and I'm pretty sure that they usually meet, historically here, it's been pretty much like, Thursday and Friday, and that's what is this meeting. Yeah, so not the next Thursday, but 2 weeks from now, Thursday, June 9th, Friday, June 10th, the Board of Regents will be meeting at my alma mater, Paducah University, UW-Milwaukee. And in my recap for this, I will just give some guidance as to what the students could say to the Board of Regents about their concerns for your economic future. Because really, if you're a hardcore student who's still on campus for a Board of Regents meeting, then chances are you're like me. You take your future seriously, and I know that I was a hardcore student, but it didn't get me anywhere. So I just got to say, now is the time to not only orate, but also provide a written statement to the UW Board of Regents supporting Ray Cross for his reform against the tenure of the faculty, but even more important than the faculty's gripes, because the faculty have not said anything about the employability of the students. Now, that's very revealing, because they should be saying stuff, should be expressing concerns about the employability of students, but they're not. So the students, of course, have very little incentive to care about the job security of faculty, because the faculty do not care about the job security of the students. Do you see where this logic is going? And if the faculty are going to be so cold, aloof, and apathetic towards the student welfare and the students' capacity to support themselves economically as UW graduates, then of course it makes sense that the UW graduates would go and tell the faculty to go hang, because really that's what the UW graduates are left on their own. I mean, of course, if the graduates are left without any job leads from the faculty and without any type of systemic type of internship, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Internship system? Well, simply requiring to get some certain amount of credits and internships before you graduate, that alone is not cutting it, because a lot of times there's a disjunction, a hang-up between the requirements of trying to get a lab placement like in psychology or an internship placement like in public administration. You might be required to get it, but when no one will give it to you, it leaves you in a lurch because you cannot graduate. You're just in limbo. And what a faculty senate doing for that? Nothing. And, of course, the students should be raising Cain about this. But, no, I mean, it's like, you know, students just like, well, hey, if I get mine, then everyone else can piss off. You know, that's the typical student attitude, because a lot of them are very arrogant. But, you know, I mean, chances are that you might be a student who ends up in that situation a few years from now, and then you'll wish that you had said something to the Board of Regents to try and prove a lot for everyone, because guess what? If you reduce the risk of washing out without any internships, okay, if you reduce that risk, then you help yourself, because, yeah, you might be the bee's knees, the top shiznit or whatever, okay, most of the time, but all it takes is one great failure, and that can kill your career. And that one great failure might be inability to get internships, okay? And even if someone gives you a pity internship that's just thrown together on paper to help you graduate instead of be in limbo for however long, well, it's not going to get you into any type of position where you can launch a career. You'll never launch a career. You'll just be stuck palletizing stuff for doing other manual labor through a temp agency. Whereas if you had done this from the beginning, such manual labor work for a temp agency before bothering with an education, okay, then you'd be in a better position, because you would have this rich work history to fall upon that would help you get internships while in school. But we're running out of room. What I'll do is I will go and take a few minutes to go and let this first segment archive. And I'll launch the art segment. We'll have a commercial break right at the beginning of our next segment, and then I'll tell you our call number again. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.